thank you very much for joining us on the From the Horse's Mouth for yet another look ahead to another weekend of top class racing. We've been with you all week at York, and it's the same too. The rest and relaxation continues listening to Ruby Walsh and Rory DeLargy on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Patrick Kennelly. We have a tremendously busy weekend of racing. We're going both sides of the Irish Sea, ITV covering obviously the Lochinge card at Newbury, and then we'll have a good look at some decent racing on Sunday as well, including a live card on RTE television here in Ireland. Before I bring in the lads, would you like a free bet? Of course you would. Just quote tweet any tweet that we send out, which is a video or reference to this very podcast. Use the hashtag FTHM, and crucially, say something nice. Come on now, be nice, and you'll go in the hat for a free 50 quid bet. Simple as that. We had a winner earlier on the week, and it was Shane O'Connor. Well done to him. Okay, Ruby Walsh and Rory, it's been a long week at York. We're nearly there. We're recording before the action on the Friday, by the way, so we don't know whether Stradivarius has done the job. He's very weak, interestingly, in the betting, but an enjoyable week at York, Ruby.
Yeah, I obviously thought Sir Michael's horse was very impressive yesterday in the
Dante
even. The Craven was many weeks ago now. Mind you, looking at the television and listening to people on the television, it seems there was as many people at the Dante as there was at the Craven. But look, that's just the price of life at the moment, I assume, and everyone is careful as to where they're spending their money. But I thought the Dante winner was really impressive. Will you win the Derby? He looks to have the gear, and more gears maybe than some of Aidan's horses, but it'll be a big challenge for Richard Kingscote.
Yeah, what a ride for Richard Kingscote as well. Rory, I keep on asking you, have you figured out the Derby yet? We'll probably get to that next week at some stage, but that's the trials done really now at this stage. So now it's time to get studying.
Yeah, pretty much. You've got Goodwood left, which has always had a couple of trials, but they've never tended to be the most significant historically. So we've had all we're going to get. Well, bear in mind, only a couple of years ago, the Derby winner was still a maiden at this stage.
Wow.
Was winning a maiden race a week before Epsom itself. So maybe the whole scenery is changing, and you gotta take a wider view of these things. But no, I certainly haven't found the Derby winner yet. The Dante winner was very impressive. And if the Derby was a mile and a quarter, you'd fancy him very strongly. But the extra 2 furlongs makes a fair old difference. So it's not done and dusted yet.
Okay. Really looking forward to that Derby. Not blown wide open, but Sir Michael Stout's winner, the Dante, definitely put himself to the top of the market.
I love the way none of us could trot his name off our tongue, and we've all referred to him as the Dante winner.
Desert
something. Yeah.
Desert. I mean, there's been Crown, way too many it? Deserts. Desert. No, it's not Storm.
Crown, no.
Oh, well on Ruby. There's been so many deserts, and he's not by Green Desert, obviously, so he's a Nathaniel.
He wouldn't be winning a Derby if he was.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, okay. Well done, Ruby. That was pretty smart. You picked that one out. That Dante winner, tell you, for Sir Michael Stout, under Richard Kingscote, in the Saeed to Hail colours. Yes.
I had the crown part. I couldn't remember the desert part.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely had the desert, but it's been so many of them. Anyway, yeah, that desert horse was pretty good. Right, we'll keep an eye out in the Derby for him. But now it's a really busy weekend of racing, as I said. We're going to start with the ITV card and then move our way to Ireland and back and forth. At 1:35 at Newbury, kicks off ITV coverage. It's the Carnarvon Stakes. It's a listed race over 6 furlongs. If you play online, by the way, folks, this is a money back race, money back on the 2nd, 3rd and 4th. All details are on site. Tiber Flow for William Haggis and Tom Marcand, the 11-4 favourite. They kicked off York with a winner. Of course, 11-4 favourite horse who's gone well on the all weather. 9-2 Ehraz for Richard Hannon, the Shadwell colours. Hierarchy is 9-2 and has been backed for Hugo Palmer. Catamosto, Ryan Moore, and Aidan O'Brien, 5-1, 8-1 San Maximus, and 9-1 a big of the rest. Okay, I pick Ruby Walsh to kick us off with a winner, please.
I can see initially why Ehraz has been put in a bit shorter than Hierarchy. I could see Ehraz turning the Ascot form with Hierarchy from behind Go Bears Go. Tiber Flow came home really well at Newcastle behind El Caballo, but his 2 wins came over 7 furlongs, and he looked to me like going back up to 7 furlongs might suit him. And that's kind of left me tentatively with Catamosto. I'm not his biggest fan. He won at Dundalk very early last year, then had a host of times he was a non-runner. I think this horse probably has been a non-runner more times than he's run. He's only run 4 times in his life. But he was 4 to perfect power, no match for Go Bears Go at the Curra. And I thought ran all right behind New York City. I'm picking him for the sake of picking one, PK. I think even for a small field, this is a puzzling contest. 9 runners, and I wasn't strong on anything.
That's okay. That's fine. Rory?
Yeah, much the same. I thought you could make some kind of case for most of the field. I mean, you said there's a bit of money for Hierarchy. I mean, he's the highest rated horse in the race. So if he finds his best form, he's got a decent chance of winning this. I guess the issue with Hierarchy is that he was well tried as a 2-year-old, and there's unlikely to be much improvement in him. It's just a case of whether other horses can improve past him. Of the horses in the race, I like Tiber Flow the most, but Ruby makes the point, you know, that he needed every yard of the 6 furlongs to get on terms at Newcastle. And he's a horse who definitely will stay 7 in good company. You know, his wins at 7 have come in a novice and a subtle handicap. So you wouldn't have to be an out and out stayer to beat lesser horses in those. He'll need a strong pace to bring his proven stamina into play, but there should be plenty of Newbury's a decent track for that. You know, it's largely against the collar all the way. It's not particularly stiff as such, but it's not a speed 6 furlongs. So class should come to the fore in the end. And I'll just go with Tiber Flow for all. An extra 0.5 furlong would increase confidence enormously.
That's fine. Fairly muted start. And that's fine. We've got a lot of racing to look forward to. I think we might be keeping our powder dry in that contest. The 10 past 2 is the Al Rayyan Stakes, a completely different type of race. 1.5 mile, Group 3. Scope for Rafe Beckett is the 3-1 favourite off the back of 2 wins at the end of last season. Has to give weight away, though. Penalised. 3-1 joint favourite with Ashada, the filly who won her Group 1, didn't she, at the back end of the season. 7-2, Fox's Tails. That's been back from 9-2. 4-1, Illarab for Markan and Haggis. And 6-1 for Without a Fight. And really interesting each way support for Outbox, who was the complete outsider, 14-1. When the price is revealed for this race yesterday, now half that price, or nearly, at 15-2. All right, Rory, the Al Rayyan.
Yeah, listen, I'm not surprised to see money for Outbox, because this race is a lot more open than it looks at first glance. You've got a couple of Group 1 winners in there in Scope and Ashada, but both of them have penalties to carry. And that's a pretty stiff task, I think, at this stage, particularly in terms of the trip for Scope, who wants further. His best form came at just short of 2 miles last season when winning the pre-Royal Oak, the French St. Ledger. And he might just need the run on this return. It took a while to hit his very top form last season. So I could see him just needing this. Similarly with Ashada, I know she was a winner first time out last season, but she stepped up on her next start. She disappeared rather in the Yorkshire Oaks. She ran no kind of race there on the quick ground, but bounced back to her best to win the filly and mare at Ascot. That wasn't the strongest Group 1 you're going to see, it has to be said. Alba Flora was second there. I'm a big fan of Alba Flora, but she was beaten at Chester in her return and has taken a little bit of a knock there. And she's got that Group 1 penalty to carry. And I think that probably counts against the pair of them for all they've still got chances of winning. And everything else has got some kind of chance. Outbox is a very straightforward horse. He will go to the front. He's a much better horse on turf than he is in the all-weather. So I'd ignore a lot of his form through the winter. He was back to his best, or very close to it, at Newmarket last time out in the Jockey Club Stakes. So, yeah, he's, for him to have been a double-figure price, I think was probably an overreaction. He's the right price now, though I'm not inclined to go piling in on him. And I would just about favour, and again, it's as I said, you can give a chance to everything. I would just about favour Fox's Tails here, because what he is, he's a dyed-in-the-wool Group 2 horse. Group 2, Group 3 horse. So if he's tried in higher company, he looks out of his depth. But he gives his running at this sort of level. I thought he just needed the run on his return, although he wouldn't have been as good as Mostadaf. Mostadaf's a Group 1 horse in waiting at Sandown on his return. That would at least get him fit for this. And he's got pretty solid form in these conditions. So I think he will definitely run his race. The weight he gets from the top pair is a big plus for him. And he'll go close. You're not getting an enormous amount of value at around 4-1 or 9-2. But as I said, he's just about the pick for me in the race.
Back down to 7-2. Rory's already back there with Paddy Power. Ruby, your thoughts?
I was in the same boat, and I was hoping that maybe the step up to 1.5 miles might even help Fox's Tails. I thought he was good and tough last year. Even at 11 furlongs, solid stone, just did him here at Newbury last September. And most of his other runs have been at 10. So I was thinking going to 12 furlongs, that might maybe help Fox's Tails. I think it could be a prep run for Scope, maybe for the Gascot Gold Cup, a stepping stone for him. And again, I agree about Ashada, first time up. Both Ashada and Scope are coming off over 200-day layoffs, whereas Fox's Tails and Illarab are both coming here having run in the last month, and I thought at a mile and a half fitness would be key, and I was coming down on Fox's tails like Rory, but for me because he was going up in distance.
Fair enough. Okay, two votes for Fox's Tails and the Al Rayan Stakes. On to the London Gold Cup. You usually need a pretty progressive three-year-old to win this, sometimes a group horse masquerading in a handicap. Israr for John Gosden, Jim Crowley and the Shadwell Operation has been backed to 4-1 joint favourite, lightly raced with Mr. Big Stuff for Richard Spencer. 9-2 Surrey Mist, 8-1 Red Vineyard, Inverness 9-1, as is Wineglass Bay, and 14-1 a big of the rest. Before I get your thoughts, Ruby, Frank Hickey, who couldn't make today, he's very busy pricing up all these races, told me, I can't make it to APK, but I will tell you, Mr. Big Stuff is my nap. And I'm not surprised with that because I think Paddy Power were the shortest price in the village on him when we originally went up with this. What are your thoughts, Ruby?
Yeah, I could maybe see why he travelled really strongly at Nottingham and he beat Al-Karim even. But that was after Al-Karim had won at Newbury and was... No, he won here and then went actually and finished behind one or the other, sorry. But Mr. Big Stuff, did travel really well, but I didn't jump out at me like he was a group horse in the waiting. I could be wrong. He's gotten £3 for it. I was torn between two, between Surrey Mist and Red Vineyard. And I'm coming down on the side of Surrey Mist. I thought that absolutely bolted in at Kempton and has gone up. I know it was on the all weather. That wasn't even a handicap. This is his first run in a handicap off a mark of 85. It beat Cliffs of Fury, True Accolade and Salvatore Mundi. Cliffs of Fury, since that run, has gone and finished second to Desert Angel at Newmarket, but off a mark of 75. Now, I know Surrey Mist gave Cliffs of Fury £5 at Kempton and it definitely beat it with more than £5 up its sleeve. I was coming down on Surrey Mist side for Trevor Whelan and George Baker. I was taken with him at Kempton. I tell you, he was very green first time out at Sandown over 7 furlongs and he stepped up over 10, 11 furlongs to win twice since.
Okay, Surrey Mist for Ruby. Roy?
I'm glad Ruby's come down on Surrey Mist because I like the other one that he that he mentioned there, Red Vineyard. There are a lot of interlocking form lines here, and the race, the mile and a quarter handicap at York on Friday, which we haven't seen yet, but
yeah,
people will have by the time this comes out, could be key as well. Where I quite like Rafe Beckett's horse, and of course, no one can remember the names of horses in this.
I'll give you a hand on that one.
And Spaycaster was third behind Mr. Big Stuff and Al-Karim, or Al-Karim and Mr. Big Stuff, to be correct, at Nottingham. And I think that's quite good form. I like Spaycaster there because he came from a long way off the pace, whereas Mr. Big Stuff was always handy. And the first and second from the turn there were first and second at the line, and Spaycaster's only made the ground. But it's pretty solid form, and Al-Karim went to Sandown next time out and ran into Red Vineyard. And I thought Red Vineyard did very well to beat Al-Karim by 3/4 of a length. That form has already been franked. Was franked last night when the horse had finished third. He travelled very strongly into that Bull's Hole, won at Newmarket. The Nottingham form was also worked out. The horse who finished fourth that day has won a handicap since as well. And both the Nottingham race and the Sandown race are working out very well. The Sandown contest is often a stepping stone for horses for the London Gold Cup. You can go back, you know, the last decade or so, and you'll see horses who've won this going off favourite for the London Gold Cup, or horses who've run well winning the London Gold Cup. And I thought Red Vineyard was taking the right kind of step up. They clearly thought a lot of him last season because he went into the Horace Hill with just his second start. The ground that day was absolutely atrocious at Newbury, and he didn't cope with it and finished last of the seven. But the fact that William Muir and Chris Grassick were happy to let him do that, having won on debut. Not many of the Muir horses win on debut. When they do, they tend to be above average. And I liked his attitude, and I liked the natural speed he showed to take a good position at Sandown, but also the stamina and the determination he showed in the finish to hold off a rallying Al-Karim. And as I said, Al-Karim's form is solid, because he'd come from that good run at Nottingham, which has worked out since. And the form of the Sandown race itself has also started working out, with Bolt Hole winning. So it looks solid. I didn't think the handicapper was at all harsh on Red Vineyard, raising him in the weights by £5 for that win. That's already looking reasonably lenient. Of course, Mr. Big Stuff, you know, that he ties into that form as well. And whatever happens with Spaycaster today, you know, could potentially be a boost for both of those. So I wouldn't be against Mr. Big Stuff because he ties into the same form line. But I like Red Vineyard. He's a much bigger price. And I don't think on the form that he's shown, he should be a bigger price than Mr. Big Stuff. this is never an easy race because these horses tend to be progressing. It's often a first or just a second try at a mile and a quarter for them as well. And if you go back about 10 years, the first and second went on to win greater group ones, with the Melbourne Cup winner beating the Dubai World Cup winner a few years ago, and they're both racing off marks in the 80s there. So you never know what you're going to run into here, but a 9-1 or thereabouts. I'm not looking at the Paddy Power price at the moment.
Come on, Rory.
Which is fair enough. that's perfectly perfectly decent way price. So I'm happy to side with him.
All right, Red Vineyards 8-1. A good shout for Mr. Big Stuff and Frank. As I said, he snapped that one up. And I'm surprised with your struggles of getting online on the call today, Rory. You didn't pick the number 12 horse. Zoom. He might find trouble in running, I think.
He may well do. Yeah.
Right. 3:20, the Lockinge. This race is obviously dominated by Baid, the unbeaten Baid, who has went from strength to strength last season. He's the 4-11 favorite. He originally went 4-9 on Thursday after declarations. That very quickly was taken and one hit, 4-11. Mother Earth for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore is 11-2. 15-2 for Real World, who comes back from the dirt. I suppose the campaign didn't really work out in the dirt for Saibin Soar. 12-1 Alcohol Free, Rob Hornby, big ride for him. 16-1 Chindit. New Mandate is 20. Sunray Major 25s for Frankie and John Thady Gosden. And Sir Busker 66-1. He's got good form here. And 120 Tonian. Right, straight back to you, Rory. I guess, look, Baid, clearly most likely winner. If you do think he'll win, I will want something to follow him home, please.
Yeah, I think, listen, he probably will win if he's ready for this. There's all, the one thing you need to bear in mind, you never assume that a top-class three-year-old is going to carry on as well as a four-year-old. We talk about two-year-olds not training on. It's also an issue for three-year-olds going into their third season as four-year-olds. With him, it'll just be a second season, of course, because you've got the weight for age scale, which gives them a harder task. They've got more weight to carry than they would if they're running in this race a year ago, and they need to have developed physically. So that's something you've always got to bear in mind. With Baid, it really shouldn't be a problem because he was too backward to race at two. He made his debut only a year ago, didn't he? It was May last year when he made his racecourse bow. So if any horse is going to train on from 3-4, it really should be him. And it's exceptionally hard to find a case against him. What you do have, though, is you do have quite a lot of fun punting each way in this race, because by definition, when you get a horse who's 2-1 on or shorter in a shortish field like this, there is place value on the others. And it's just a case of who you think will pick it up. And you can certainly, often with each way betting, you're thinking, I've got half a chance of winning here. And you're looking to back the second or third favorite, knowing I'm sure that's going to be placed and it's got half a chance of winning. You may not feel that with anything else in the race if you really fancy Baid. So sometimes it's a case of, right, what's going to fall into third at a big price? So I'm getting the biggest payout I can get. And for me, that horse is Sir Busker at 66-1. It's a big, big price for a horse who is Group One class. Now he's not the best of these by any manner of means, but he will have conditions to suit. A mile with a bit of dig in the ground suits him very well. I thought he ran very well last time out. He wasn't suited by racing in Maidan. He didn't really. I mean, he wasn't disgraced there. And of course, you know, he's only beaten four lengths and less than three lengths in Group One company at the start of March, and then on World Cup night he was beaten four lengths in the Dubai turf. So that's not bad for him, but he's a better horse on domestic soil. He was a little bit disappointing, you could argue, when beaten by New Mandate at Ascot last time out. But a tactical race with four runners isn't really his cup of tea. He almost got there too easily. And Sir Busker wants a strong pace to run at. He wants to run through horses, and he will be better suited by this race than I think New Mandate will. I thought there was nothing between them on the day. There was a neck in it at the line. You could argue New Mandate will improve because he only had one run last year. I'm not sure. I thought New Mandate was clearly very, very straight for that. And that's, you know, that's essentially the run to judge New Mandate on, because, you know, essentially all we have with him is his two-year-old career. So, and of course, he was a gelding, so he had limited options last year. He ended up only running at Royal Ascot and then not being seen since. He could jump forward, but I thought there was value in backing Sir Busker to turn the tables, because I think the stronger pace here, the bigger field, will suit him a little bit better. And while I don't see him winning the race, which obviously if he did win the race, Callum Shepherd would be a very unhappy man because he was due to ride him. And he got that ban for improper riding, which was completely overturned yesterday. But he couldn't. The appeal came too late to get him back on the horse. So Holly Doyle takes the ride. And I thought that Sir Busker would be in the top half of the field. Hopefully he sneaks into third. I don't have any great hopes of him doing better than that. But third at 66-1 would be very nice. Thank you.
Yeah. So you can play him in the normal market each way, 66-1. You could have a look at the betting without. It would probably be available by the time this pops up. You could back him each way in that as well. If you do fancy, potentially he could pick up the win in that particular market. So Sir Busker each way or without Ruby?
I think that Baid will win, but I'm looking, probably not as clever about it as Rory, I'm looking for the one that could beat Baid if Baid doesn't turn up. So looking the other way at it, and for me that's Real World. Had only two runs at 3-year-old in October and December, and then when he turned 4 in January of 21, he had 3 runs January, February and March, had the break, and then he was a different horse when he came back. He won the Hunt Cup in an absolute canter off a mark in 94, stepped up to a listed race at Newbury where he won Group 3 at York, Group 2 at Longchamp, and then headed off on his travels. Won at Maidan on the turf, but then when he went down to the dirt, as you already alluded to, in Saudi Arabia and at Maidan, he ran no race. So you can just put that down to dirt. But for a relatively lightly raced horse, on the turf anyway, he still looks to be improving. So, he's rated 118. Danny Tudhope rides him, leave out his 2 dirt runs, and he's coming here with a fair string of number ones behind his name. And I think he could be the one if Baid doesn't bring his A game that could turn him over maybe.
Okay, Real World each way for Ruby, possibly could pip a undercooked Baid, and Rory going with Sir Busker each way in the lockage. Right, let's go to Newmarket. We've got a couple of races on ITV. The Fairway Stakes is a listed event over a mile and a quarter, and it's the maiden in the race who tops the market, Ottoman Fleet, a horse who currently is 15-8 and has been well back for Charlie Appley and James Doyle. 11-4 for Groundbreaker, drifting for Andrew Balding. You've got plenty of previous winners, Zane Sarinda, 7-2, 9-2 Post Impressionist, 10-1 Austrian Theory. That's easy to back for Charlie Mark Johnson, Savvy Victory 20s, and El Habib 50-1. Okay, Ruby, straight back to you. Ottoman Empire, he's been well backed already, but he is still a maiden.
He is still a maiden, and his form is only okay. I mean, the horse that beat him at Newbury Natural World ran last week in Lingfield and was he third of the 4 runners in the Derby? Third, yeah. So that's not automatically saying, wow, that form is rock solid. Maybe it will be. Maybe the horse that won in Lingfield will go and win the Derby and this will look great for him. But at the moment, we don't know that. Groundbreaker, I thought, looked a difficult enough horse. Watched him at Kempton, high enough head carriage, and at Doncaster, he hung left, his head up in the air. He doesn't look the most straightforward. Post Impressionist, it was second on his first start at Nottingham, then went up there and won as it liked. But the one I liked was next in the betting, Zane Sarinda, who started at Kempton on the all-weather, had 3 all-weather runs, won at Wolverhampton twice, and then ran at Epsom. I didn't think it really handled Epsom behind Nahini, with United Nations just behind him in fourth. And Nahani went along in front. Grand Alliance got a great split down the inside in Epsom to be the ultimate challenger to Nahani, whereas Zane Sarinda and United Nations both had to come round. And I thought Zane Sarinda was always hanging down the camber and in behind Nahani. And I thought Zane Sarinda could be the improver.
Yeah, in the Kentucky Derby winning colours of Animal Kingdom, Zane Sarinda for the Team Valour, Ottoman Fleet, not Empire. Getting my Ottomans wrong as well as my deserts at this stage. All right, Rory, your thoughts?
I largely agree with Ruby. It's a bit of a shame we didn't see Lionel in the Derby trial at Lingfield last week, because that would have been 2 horses from the Newbury race, both of whom had caught the eye. I thought the one thing you could mark Natural World up for in that Lingfield race was that he stuck to the inside rail, which you don't want to do at Lingfield. I made that point on the podcast, and I think that probably cost him a fair bit of ground. The first and the second came quite wide. I mean, they were getting towards the outside rail by the line, and I thought that you didn't see the best off Natural World as a result. Ottoman Fleet looked like he should have beaten Natural World at Newbury. He just came with his effort a bit too late. Both he and Lionel were finishing off really well. The winner got first run. So I can see why he's favourite. I can see why he might just be a very, very good horse, Ottoman Fleet. But he comes here a maiden on just his second start, and it's a fair ask. So I'm not massively against him, but I thought Zane Sarinda was very solid. Again, Ruby said it all with Zane Sarinda. I thought he ran really well in the Derby trial at Epsom, despite the fact that he struggled with the camber. I thought he looked very genuine as well. You know, it wasn't like he wanted to hang in behind other horses. He was trying to keep himself straight, but just struggling to do so. And that wasn't easy because he had a horse on his, coming on his outside as well. And that form has already worked out. The one thing I didn't mention from that race, which might tie into one of our other races on Saturday, was the horse that finished another place behind there, or two places behind, Inverness, runs in the London Gold Cup, and I thought he had half a chance from that race as well. He would have been my second pick in that. So yeah, I think that the Blue Ribbon trial is working out well. Zane Sarinda has shown that he's very straightforward. He finds plenty for pressure. He's not beholden to a strong pace either. So he's got plenty in his favour. This should be a good pace here with Austrian Theory, liable to do plenty of the donkey work. But Zane Sarinda should be well placed. I wouldn't be surprised if Ottoman Fleet ended up being, you know, a fair bit better in the bare form of his debut. And I do fear him. But at the prices, I think Paddy Power are a fairly generous price in Zane Sarinda here. I think the top
of the market.
Top price at 7-2, I think.
Ooh, lovely. Yeah. Okay, so, at the time of recording.
At the time of recording, yes.
Okay, very good. Right, a couple of votes for Zane Sarinda. A couple of handicaps that ITV are showing us at Newmarket as well. There's a sprint one at 6 furlongs at 225. Lear Special, 3-1 favourite, Roger Vane, Ray Dawson. This is a race restricted three-year-olds, so potential. Haymaker for Harry Davies. He rides, of course, the young kid on the block, 5-1. Harry, 3, the horse, for Clive Cox and Adam Kirby is 6-1. Also 6-1 for Ernie's Valentine. There's a jockey I've never heard of. Mohammed Lees Tabti?
Yeah, Tabti? He's the stable apprentice for Paul and Ollie Paul.
Has he had a winner yet?
He has a winner. Yeah, he said a few. I mean, I didn't.
Okay.
I was largely ignoring the mounts he had, 2020 and early last season. But he started racking up a few wins, so he's the nice. Experience is certainly
telling
on him
hint,
now.
PK. I'll give you a very simple hint. See Mohammed Tabti, 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when they start with a 10.
Yeah, no, hang on.
And then they ride 3 winners, and it comes from 10 to 7.
Hang on. Thought you could only claim 10 for your...
For your own stable. He's riding for his own stable, though.
For, yeah, well, yeah. See, I didn't know that, Rui. I didn't know. You can only claim 10 for your...
No, you all start with 10. You can claim 10 for longer for your own stable.
Oh, right. My apologies, Rui. I wasn't as... well read on the rule book.
I thought you knew everything.
Well, I do.
You being the former handicapper son.
Former. Yeah, okay. Well, at least I knew that there was something to do with your trainer. You could only claim 10 for the trainer who you were apprenticed to, but obviously it's for longer. Yeah, okay. You learn something new every day, Ruby Walsh? Well, I do. You might not.
We all do.
Thoughts on this sprint handicap? I'll go back to you, Ruby. Who wins it?
Who wins it? Trappy enough. I was drawn to Harry 3 simply for the fact that Adam Kirby was back on board. Adam rode it when it won twice at Kempton last November. I thought it ran well behind Ingator here at the end of April and had improved, actually. I know Anna Dora had a penalty for winning at Newmarket early in April, but there was only £2 between Anna Dora and Harry 3 on the 13th of April at Newmarket, and then when they ran behind Ingator, their reverse placings. Now Harry 3 was £2 better off, but it still beat Anna Dora by further. So I thought Harry 3 was possibly improving, and with Adam Kirby back on board, it took my eye.
Rory?
Yeah, I think that's the key race. That's a similar handicap here at the end of April at Newmarket, in which Harry 3 was runner-up ahead of Anna Dora, and with Ernie's Valentine back in sixth. There was certainly an advantage to be close to the pace there. Harry 3 did well to make headway late and to split Ingrator and Anna Dora. Ernie's Valentine was... also making late ground, but from a poor position and could only get into sixth. But I thought he'd come on a fair bit for the run. It's not a race I'd be massively confident about, but one angle I've liked for quite a while, when Paul Cole sticks a pair of blinkers on a horse, it's often significant. I did have one of my very best days punting when he stuck a pair of blinkers on Majestic Dawn for the Cambridgeshire a couple of years ago. So that angle is always makes me prick up my ears. I thought Ernie's Valentine would come on for the run. He's run two very respectable races here at Newmarket. He ran in the big sales race on his final start at 2. He only finished 8th that day, but that was a massive field, 28 runners. And I thought that was perfectly respectable. I think he'll do better for the run. And Mohamed Tabti, let's have a look at his figures this season. 2 from 11 this season. 8 places from those. So he's getting a good churn out of the horses this year. His strike rate in flat handicaps is 21% as well, all for this yard. And the fact that he's claiming £7 off it now looks like a positive rather than a liability. And that makes me side with him at a reasonable price. Worth bearing in mind that I don't think we'll see Pocket the Prophet unless it rains, and there's no rain due for Newmarket. And George Bowie has said in the past that he will not run Pocket the Prophet unless there is soft in the going description. So he may come out of this race unless we see unexpected rain.
Fair enough. Hope Mohammed's a regular listener to the pod because he's getting plenty of mentions at this stage. Best of luck on your ride, Rory, selection there for Paul and Oliver Cole. Right, and Harry 3 for Ruby. Right, we're going to the 3 o'clock. This is a 7 furlong handicap. It is a handicap, but we're looking at a few horses rated in around the 100 mark, so some pretty quality horses. Shine So Bright is topping the mark for Harry Davies and Andrew Balding at 100 to 30. 7-2 for Salem for Simon Ed Crisford. You've got Wizard D'Amour at 4-1. Quintillis for Charlie Appy and James Doyle is 5-1 from 7-1, and then it's 9-1 and Big of the Rest. Straight back to you, Rory DeLargy.
I was just Shine So Bright last time out. Handicap had given him a real chance, and I thought Harry Davis gave him a really good ride because I thought he would scorch away at Newmarket, and he didn't. He sat in behind, and he's come with a run from behind runners to get up. He's not always been a horse to hold his form, though. That's the worry with Shine So Bright. Maybe now that he's shown himself effective under a range of tactics, he might be able to build on that, because he won the free handicap, didn't he, as a 3-year-old, and looked like he was going to be a really good. He wasn't beaten that far in the Guineas, but he hasn't really gone on as expected. So the question is whether he builds on that win or whether he goes back to being a bit disappointing. At the prices and off the higher mark, I can let him go. And the one that I'll go for here is Bullis. For Rafe Beckett. Now we're discussing the Rafe Beckett form on the last podcast. He did have a winner at Newmarket on Friday night, winner in a second from 4 runners on Thursday. So I'm hoping that's a sign that things are picking up. And hopefully, by the time you listen to this podcast, he's had at least one winner at York on Friday, because I've backed 2 of them. So if they don't run well, I may be changing my mind on this. But Bullis goes well fresh, as he showed when winning at this track on his reappearance. Last year, it was the Craven meeting. He won a handicap off a mark of 84. He was far from disgraced in listed company on his next start, but he found the St. James's Palace Stakes far too tough, and he was then given a break. He ran only okay in the Fortune Stakes at Sandown, but again, that was on heavy ground. He showed that he handled it okay the first time he tried it, but I'm not sure it's necessarily ideal for him. And then he was very disappointing in the Gisborough Stakes in his final start. I can forgive that. And he's a horse who clearly shows his form early in the season. He's very lightly raced, particularly as a handicapper. I think he'll be ready for this. I'd like to see a bit of a market move. His owner, David Aldrey, I think he was formerly chief steward a few years ago, but he's always liked a bit of a punt on his horses. So if there's a bit of a market move on him with one or two firms, in the morning of this race, I would particularly be interested in that. But yeah, I think off a mark of 102, given the form he showed when winning well at Newmarket early last year, and then backing that up in listed company next time, he's fairly handicapped, and I think this is the time to catch him first time out.
Bullies 9-1 at the time recording. We're hoping to see a little bit of shortening there, Ruby.
I was with Quintillis, ran a cracking race in the Britannia last year at the Royal Meeting when it was third behind El Perotto. Now it was on the stand side, which had the first 3 home. So, often maybe hard to gauge that form literally, but then came to Newmarket and beat Maxi Boy over 7 furlongs, dropping from the mile in the Britannia back to 7 furlongs, which was a short price favourite on that occasion. That was off 97. Has only had the 1 run since. That was in Maidan. Ran. Moderate, I suppose, in a list of race behind Storm Damage there in February, but he's back on the turf, back in Newmarket, James Doyle and Charlie Appleby, and I'm hoping there's still a bit of improvement in Quintillis.
Okay, Quintillis for Ruby, bit backed, as I said, 5-1 from 7-1. That's ITB done, but there are a few other races on Saturday I'd like to look at on a very busy day's racing. There's probably one race of note at Navan on the Saturday afternoon. It's the 8 stakes over a mile and 5 furlongs. So you would imagine the Coomer operation would like to win this, one of their greatest stayers ever, if not the greatest stayer. And I think they will win it. They've got two horses in it, in Arbutus, who was a course and distance maiden winner, Aidan and Shamey Heffernan combining with this one. They've also got Shark Bay. Wayne Lorden takes the right cheek piece for the first time. Karjiga Joe represents Colin Keane and Ger Lyons. And those three will probably make the market. No price at the time of recording. Ruby, just a question regarding Arbutus. I've no idea how you pronounce this. Now, he made his debut in a maiden over a mile and 5 furlongs. Now, if I see a Coolmore or, you know, a really well-bred horse debut in a mile and 5 furlongs, I go slow. You know, like, I mean, I don't know. Am I wrong? Or, like, he obviously won it. So it's just, he was 12-1 winner as well. Maybe he's surprised. I just find it weird.
Yeah, he's out of Sea Siren, who's by Fastnet Rock. Is Fastnet Rock a Champion Stakes winner or no?
He's mile and two, I think, was his gig anyway.
Mile and a quarter was his trip, wasn't he? Yeah. Maybe he didn't win that caliber race, but yeah, obviously you look at it, people tend to run horses over the trips they think they can win over. So if you're thinking he wants a mile and 5 furlongs, you're of the opinion that he can't win over a mile or a mile and a quarter. But Arbutus, what more could he do but win? And he beat Newfoundland. And you'd have to think he will have improved for the run. Newfoundland was, or looked to be, the first string on that occasion, had a run a couple of weeks earlier at Leopardstown over a mile and a quarter, but Newfoundland was the beaten favourite, and Arbutus beat him. Aidan had the first three home, realised realism was back in third. Yeah, where do you go from here, Rory? Is it the mile and 6 race at Ascot? Is it a mile and 6?
Yeah, the
used to be 2.
Yeah, it used to be 2 mile. The Queen's Vase is now a mile and 6, and it's gone up. There's now a group race rather than a listed race as well. So it's become a lot more desirable to win that than it used to be. So
Aidan's got a brilliant record on that race.
He does, yeah. Wow.
But Arbutus and the horse that won in Cork last week as well, Martinstown, was it?
Yep.
Yeah, Martinstown, yeah.
But they look like they would both look like the kind of horse for that race. So if he's going to be involved in that, you'd have to think he'd win this.
Yeah. It looks interesting. Race with an eye to that that race, Queen's Vase, for sure. Ruby, I did want to get your thoughts on a few races, unless, Rory, you want to jump in on that race at Navan.
Negative. Not particularly, no.
Beautifully put.
I'll let that one go.
Yeah, that's fine. Three horses declared by William Mullins for Wexford on Saturday afternoon. The 2:30 authorised arc goes in the rated hurdle. No winning machine, this fella, Ruby.
He's fair to say that. He's been running over much further, drops right down in trip now. And look, is it an ideal opportunity? Hard to say it is. I mean, Buddy Rich lines up here off a hurdle rating of 121 when we last saw him. He was competing off much higher over fences, and he did win at Navan off a mark of 132, allowing he beat Bally Adam. He had a rating of 132. That was a novice, not a handicap. He did run at Ferry House in Dan Moore, where he was fourth behind Dunvegan and then well beaten by Mount Leinster at Ferry House. But Buddy Rich jumps out, but so too does Imperial Ruler of Dermot McLaughlin's. Mm. I thought he won nicely at Maidenhurst at Ferry House at Easter time. And I wouldn't be surprised, whilst he lacks the experience, were he to prove to be a better than 100, what's he need to be here, 130-ish to win? I wouldn't be surprised if Imperial Ruler can run close to that.
Fair enough. A couple more to look at. Ganapathy and the Novice Chase, the 4:15. This race, Ganapathy, Joe Donnelly Silk. See, he hasn't really kicked on, is it fair to say?
Well, he was ready to go Novice Chasing last autumn and met with a setback. So again, he was fit to run. It was well into the spring, so he stayed over hurdles, ran in the Coral Cup, where he was no match for a Commander of Fleet. I thought he was disappointing behind Irascible at Cork. Cashback was second. Ganapathy was third, and then pulled out quickly enough at Punchestown behind Cross Hill, classic getaway. Look, Paul chose to ride him, but again, it was only an okay run. But that run might still be good enough here. Ashtree Meadow, I suppose, might be the one, but again, looks a bit more. We're into the summer, so what do you need on a summer type of horse? Ganapathy has schooled well, and I think he'll go close. I'd prefer to be getting into Ganapathy than I would authorised art.
That's fair enough. And the Mayor's Bumper on the card, Walk in the Breeze, who has had two runs, one under Patrick, one under Jody, has failed to get by a couple of horses, not beaten far, though. Jatara, who beat her last time, she might be fairly smart, actually.
Yeah, third time lucky maybe for Walking the Breeze. Slight concern maybe might be coming back from 2.5 miles to two. But that said, Wexford nowadays, left-handed, is a stiff enough track. It's a pretty stiff track. So that should suit her.
Lovely. Right, that is Saturday done. What we're going to do is going to take a very quick break and then we'll be back to look ahead to some excellent action on Sunday.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Right, let's have a look ahead to a Sunday of racing that we've got the best of both worlds in Ireland. We've got Killarney over jumps and we've got the Royal Ascot Trials Day at Naas. Fair play to the Naas marketing team, Ruby Walsh. It's the Royal Ascot Trials Day. How many Royal Ascot winners will we see?
How many did we see last year?
That's a good question. Did we? Maybe one? No, did probably, we? No, probably not. Probably not. You never know. You never know. It's live on RT television here in Ireland, which is great.
It is indeed.
We're going to kick off with the Soul Power Sprint Stakes. I'm sure Paddy himself will be there giving the trophy with a big grin in his face. What a wonderful horse Soul Power was and is. He's still down in British Bay living with one of the other powers, Empirical Power or something like that. But anyway, fair play to the lads. This race is, I guess, a lot of these horses have met already, even some of them this season. Geocentric for Ger Lyons and Colin Keane. She's a filly, a three-year-old filly, so she gets a fair chunk of weight from the likes of Logo Hunter, who would be the top rated. You've got the Make a Challenge, who's back for more. You've also got Measure of Magic for Johnny Murta as well. By the way, if you missed the ITV4 documentary on Johnny Murta, find it on whatever player you can. It is brilliant. But Ruby, your thoughts on the Soul Power Sprint?
Yeah, like a three-year-old won it last year. I'm fairly sure Logo Hunter won it last year. And I think Geocentric could win it this year. Good run behind Romantic Proposal here in April. Mooney Este was just behind her in third. I think that's pretty solid form for sprinters in Ireland. So Geocentric getting the weight allowance for me.
Roy, did you see the ITV4 documentary on Johnny Murta?
No, but I heard lots of comments about it while it was on, which made it sound like it was absolutely top-notch. So
it really was. Yeah. The one takeaway from it is Orla Murta is the one running the show. I think it's fair. Well, maybe not running the show is unfair, but I tell you what, she's got a strong hand in that career that Johnny Murta has had, for sure. Fair play to her. Brilliant. No, if you can't watch it, watch it. Had you had a look at this race?
Yeah, Logo Hunter won this really well last year. He won it by a big margin, and it was a strong race on paper. Threw up plenty of subsequent winners. He wasn't at his best at Cork on his return, but I thought he looked pretty rusty there. He was up to 6 furlongs as well. He will probably come on a fair bit for that run, and I think he might take... If he's back to the form he showed when he won the race last year, I think it's going to be hard to beat. Obviously, as a four-year-old now, he's got a bit more weight in his back. He's got £9 extra with weight for age, so he needs to prove that he's capable of doing that. But good 5 furlong sprinters should keep progressing with age, because it's all about, they tend to be the bulky ones, the ones who are very powerful. And as they get older, they tend to get stronger and faster. Whereas a lot of horses who race over further get a bit slower with time, but 5 furlong horses get faster. And Logo Hunter should be a better horse this year than he was last. And if you assume that he needed the run on his latest start, then he's got a decent chance. The worry, I suppose, with him is that his season ended early last year, and ended in disappointment at the Curragh in July. So he may have had a setback, and you're always slightly concerned about how well horses come back from time off. But that he would have needed the run last month, more with that in mind, given he'd missed most of the summer last year as well. So I'm inclined to forgive that and think that he can come back to form. And if he does, he'll take plenty of beating. And of course, Make a Challenge was the horse he won at the previous year. So
all three. They're all back for more. The 245 is probably a trial for the Albany Stakes. It's the Coolmore-sponsored RGBF Filly Sprint Stakes. A lot of previous winners here in these two-year-old fillies. Covra for Jim Bulger, who's got to find a bit of a turnaround in form. Matilda Picot for Kieran Cotter, who was a lovely winner on debut. You've got Meditate for Aidan O'Brien, who won on her only start. It's showtime, baby! You'd swear this horse is running the Kentucky Derby with that name, for Jessica Harrington, also winner last summer. I'll go back to you, Ruby Walsh. This looks a good little race.
Yeah, I thought it was looking. Most people will be drawn to Mediate and the no-name never filly that won first time up at the Curragh. But I think it's Showtime Baby who won at Dundalk in early April for Jessica Harrington. Could be the one. I'm not sure Jessie's horses were flying just then, and she had a rather lean period just after that. So it's Showtime Baby, could be the one. I thought picked up really well to beat Carlotta in the last sort of half a furlong. Stepping up a couple of furlongs or up a furlong in trip even should help. And I think it's Showtime Baby could be the one.
Might get a Royal Ascot winner here, the Albany Stakes, you never know. Any thoughts on this one?
I thought Matilda Picot might be the one to beat, and it'd be great if Kieran Cotter had a Royal Ascot winner. He wouldn't be particularly familiar with British racegoers, but he's been a perfectly capable handler for a fair old while, both flat and jumps. And he's done well with a few 2-year-olds he's had through his hands in recent times. And Matilda Picot won well on debut at the Curragh, beating Cora, and Cora won next time out, and there's no reason to think that wasn't solid form. She clearly knew her job really well there. She bounced out and made all, but she made all at a strong pace. And I thought, you know, she wasn't often when something gets out in front is able to dictate. You're getting the best of things, but I thought she set a strong enough pace there that those who were held up could have been drawn into the race. But she still went well in the end, and as long as there's a bit of improvement to come, she should run another big race.
Yeah, Kieran Cotter, 2-year-olds on debut, always worth a look, and sometimes they go off silly big prices as well. 3:15 is the Owenstown Stud Stakes. This is a listed race. Paddy Toomey's got an ex-German horse here, Prodiadora, but without prices, I'm going to assume that Jessica Harrington's Beau Pedro brings the strongest rating, is going to be towards the top of the betting with Lust for Jer Lyons and Colin Keane. They are the two in this race with triple figure ratings. Joseph's got Dante's Pass, who only had 3 runs last year. You've also got Laugh If You Want for Jer Keane and Jamie Heffernan. Again, back to you, Ruby. This, without prices, looks tricky.
It does look tricky. Obviously, Lust will be high on a lot of people's list by Fascinate Rock, not Fascinating Rock, as I got mixed up.
Carries the colours of Fascinating Rock, though.
That's really what drew me. Beau Pedro obviously won at the Curragh last August when he beat Moddy Poddle. That was in the Cambridgeshire. I know that's pretty solid form. This is a listed race. You're looking what really is stepping outside of handicap form. Lust was second to Radobarg at Tipperary. I thought the fourth horse that day, Real Force, ran well. He stayed on well for Ger O'Leary. Now McCullough takes the ride, and I wouldn't be surprised if Real Force gets into the shake-up here at some bit of a price.
Yeah, he should be a decent price because he does have to turn form. He's got a previous course and distance win. Roy, this, I think I'm putting this in the too hard bin.
Yeah, I think Ruby makes a good point there about Real Force. Mostly in that race, the second and third were well positioned in that race. Radobarg's a really a decent horse. He caught my eye when he was trained in the UK last year, winning a novice at Leicester, and has gone on to much better things since moving. He's still with the same owner, still Ammo Racing, isn't he?
Yep, he is.
He's been well placed there. So that was a decent contest. But yeah, I'd agree with Ruby that Real Force caught the eye coming from further back than the second and third, and he's got every chance of turning the tables. And it's probably going to be a decent price because, you know, I think not that many people will look beyond the result there to see the run styles. Yeah. So I'd agree, although I wouldn't have a massively strong view generally.
That's fair enough. The last race we'll look at, Nace, is the Lacken Stakes. It's a Commonwealth Cup trial, 3-year-old over 6 furlongs. This is a good race. Straight Answer, of course, looks a very good 2-year-old for Jer Lyons and Colin Keane. Second on debut behind a horse who reopposes New York City, who looks a completely different 3-year-old to the 2-year-old we saw last season for Aidan O'Brien. They're going to be pretty towards the top of the market. Twilight Jet, one of those heavily raced classy 2-year-olds last year for Michael O'Callaghan, ran in the US and ran in just about every other 2-year-old race in the UK and Ireland as well. Very smart horse as well. Good race, this one. Beauty Inspire as well, unbeaten in 2 starts last year. So I'm going to go back to you, Rory. This is probably the race of the day for me. What are your thoughts?
If Twilight Jet is going to do well this year, I think it'll be at 5 furlongs. I know he's 6, he's even tried at 7 last year, but I think his niche will be at 5 furlongs. There is a question about him training on, obviously, given how much racing he had last year and how forward he was. New York City's been pretty impressive in 2 starts. This season's clearly going the right way, but I would just go with Straight Answer Now, he was he disappointed when he came over for the Dewhurst. And I put a line through that. His runs coming into that, particularly as listed win at Ferryhouse, was very impressive. He obviously was behind New York City at Navan on his return, but you know, he might just have needed that run after a fair break. He's got every chance of turning the tables. You know, strictly speaking, he'd be held on the form. But I think with New York City having had plenty of racing and the benefit of a run behind him, there shouldn't be much between them. Straight Answer might be a bigger price here, and that would just about sway me.
Ruby?
I agree with Rory. Probably Straight Answer to turn around with New York City. And New York City had the benefit of a run at the end of March when they met in April. So you'd be expecting Straight Answer to improve fitness-wise. I think if it's a dark one, though, it could be Beauty Inspire. Two runs, a two-year-old for the Mimas, son of Mimas, was a good winner of the Anglesey last July when we last saw him, and he beat Andreas Vasilius, beat Cowboy Justice first time up at the Derby meeting. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the improver, but Colin Keane has gone for Straight Answer. Gary Carroll rides Beauty Inspire. I think there could be two decent three-year-olds. Tomorrow, obviously, Straight Answer is the first string, but I'd be keeping an eye on Beauty Inspire going forward.
Yeah, interesting that Jura's thrown them both in. Probably just an opportunity situation because they both are very smart two-year-olds. Right, that's some racing at Nace live on RT. A quickest run through Killarney. There's four horses declared by Willie Mullins, Ruby. Mare's listed race at 3 o'clock. Heya in the honeysuckle colours. She doesn't look massively consistent, this one.
No, she's not massively consistent. Decent opportunity for her all the same. Lunar Despair has been running well. I thought Santa Rosa was probably the one, second to DeRosso at Ferry House at Easter. Anna Bunny has been running consistently, does like quick ground. But I did think Santa Rosa was the one for them to beat. That was a good run for her behind DeRosso at Ferry House for a mare with her experience over jumps.
Dermot McLaughlin going to have a big weekend by the sounds of things. The Novice Chase at 4 o'clock, Egality Man and the famous Donnelly Silk says the Willie Mullins representative. You've got Grand Parody for Gordon Elliott in there as well as Max Flamingo, Francis Casey, who brings a very strong rating.
Yeah, and he's running the Irish Nationals a good run too. Just looked like he didn't quite get home behind Lord Lariat, had beaten Bacardi's at Turles. Egality Man ran better than I thought he would behind Royal Rendezvous at Punchestown in the open handicap chase. He has a squeak, but providing Max Flamingo is over his Irish National excursions, he's definitely going to be the one to beat.
Yeah, for sure. My Lighthouse makes her first step into chasing company in the 4:30. I assume she's schooled okay.
She has. She's a good jumper. She wants every yard probably of 2.5 miles. But look, it's not an outstanding contest. She was rated 124 over hurdles. Whether she ran to that level or not, I'm not sure. But Say Goodbye is probably the biggest danger. Chased home Party Central at Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival. Which is a solid enough run. So Say Goodbye probably may just be a bit good for My Lighthouse.
Okay, keep an eye on those two. And one of the bumper, Felix Summers, you mentioned Royal Rendezvous colours, the same colours here, Carrie Patrick on board. How does this one go?
Not the flashiest type at home, but he answers all the questions he's been asked and we'll be pretty hopeful.
Yeah, I love those ones. I like the lazy ones at home and the ones that do it on the track. They'll do anyone, any owner. Yeah, yeah, showing us nothing. I'm sure Constitution Hill apparently wouldn't beat a donkey on the gallops. But anyway, gentlemen, thank you so much. That is an extensive look ahead to a weekend that's full of good horse racing, both sides of the IRC. Now what remains is best bet of the weekend. And Ruby Walsh, if you can remember all the way back to the first race at Newbury that we covered all the way through to that race at Killarney, what's your best bet of the weekend?
I think Zane Sarinda at Newmarket in the 150.
Ooh, okay, and the Team Valor Silks on Saturday. Roy DeLargy.
I'll see if I can remember the name of a horse now. That's as we've discovered, we've all...
It's desert. Fascinating desert.
My head is full of the names of horses from 1932 through to about 1986.
When you go to Outlook folder and you delete files.
I don't want to delete those files. Those are the ones I want to save. Okay. Red Vineyard in the London Gold Cup would be my nap of the weekend.
Red Vineyard, the London Gold Cup, that is at Newbury on Saturday, while Ruby going with Zane Sarinda. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the weekend. We'll be back next weekend to preview the Irish Guineas Festival at the Curragh. Looking forward to that.
I can't believe you forgot the French Guineas. It's just...
What, is it this weekend?
There you are. Imagine that. Imagine
it's
that,
this Rory. Weekend. Well, hey, I've got time. If you guys want to talk about the French Guineas, I've got time.
Tie in the Acropolis and Aidan O'Brien Ryan, the Moore double for me.
Lovely. There you go. Covered. Rory, who wins who wins both guineas?
No. I'm not. Pass. I'm not even dipping there.
Pass. Can't believe it. Okay, fair play. So Toy and the Acropolis, is it?
Yep.
Lovely. All right. Double at Longchamp on Sunday as well, on weirdly quick ground at Longchamp, I'm told, for a French guineas. We'll see you next week for the Irish guineas, where we will actually preview the Irish guineas.
I didn't even know it was on, and now you know it's quick ground.
Well, I've been listening to news. I didn't know it was on, but I've heard like a lot of horsemen pulled out because of the quick ground. So yeah, I listen to some things, Ruby. Unlike Rory, it doesn't stick, you know. But anyway, have a great weekend, everyone. Really enjoy it. Hope the weather holds, and we have a nice few barbecues out there. Back a few winners as well. Take it easy.